So I want to start with this, Haley, is just you, when you're with this development staff that you are now the senior director of, what do you guys try and focus on during the season? Because I imagine that it's a lot easier when you're trying to give assignments throughout the off season. People are coming back. You're seeing what their progress is. They're in training camp. I watched you at your media conference a while back talking about, you know, touches, basically getting to touch base with people, check in with people. I wonder what that process looks like now versus during the off season.
Yeah, so there's a few things that we do in season. I mean, obviously with our prospects that are not under organizational control, guys that are playing across North America and Europe, we're watching their games, sort of analyzing how they're doing, and then we do quite a few check-ins with them, whether it's a Zoom call to look at shifts or just a phone call, and different ways to sort of communicate depending on where they are and where they're at in their season. So monitoring their health status, et cetera, et cetera. And then with the Marlies and the Leafs, we're supporting what the team needs on the ice. So it's, today is skills development day. So we work on different aspects of whatever the coaching staff identifies and certain players that we work with as well. So it's kind of on the day, whatever is needed. We have a staff of 9 of us that on or off the ice and can go wherever we need to go throughout the season to support the players. Just to really, the goal in player development is to help the players get better in whatever capacity that is.
In terms of those goals, obviously it is to help the players get better, but it's also, you know, the AHL team has to serve the NHL team when needs arise. How difficult are some of those decisions when you're, you know, the organization's looking at, hey, this guy could be playing fourth line minutes and contributing to the NHL team, but maybe it's better for his player development to be down with the Marlies playing first line minutes. That's just an example, but how difficult is that to balance?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, that mainly falls under the decisions that, you know, Kyle and Ryan Hardy make at the Marlies and Leafs level. And then, you know, ultimately you kind of have to have a long game in mind with young players coming in. And I think the tendency sometimes is players want to get right up to the NHL. And but I've always believed that, you know, even if it's for a minor hockey kid, people will say, well, you know, I didn't make the AAA team. I'll say, well, you made the AA team. You're going to play more minutes and maybe have more fun and work on your skills. And that might pay off in the long run. So, you know, it's I think, all about skill development, getting the ice time, getting the confidence, and then you know, the NHL is a very hard league, and not every player can just jump right in and make an impact. So sometimes you can get more out of a player if you're a little bit more patient, and that's, I guess, the art, and then maybe having a little bit of luck at making those decisions as well.
Is there anything you noticed during the pandemic in terms of development for players, regardless of what league maybe they're playing in, or which, if they're in the pro leagues or they're working their way up? Was there anything that players had a little bit less time to do, or anything that you focused on making sure was a part of their regimen, even though they weren't able to be, you know, as involved with their teams as they would have liked to be?
Yeah, like, we've had some prospects literally that did not play a game for almost 2 years. And so when you're, you know, 16 years old and you didn't play a game for 2 years, you can imagine, and then you come to an NHL development camp, you can imagine the kind of anxiety that goes with that and the risk for injury, et cetera, et cetera. So we, you know, I really tried to focus on, number one, just making sure that everybody's mental health and anxiety. I mean, these are, yes, they're pro hockey players, and the fans and the public looks at them as such, but they're also human beings and young guys that have been, in many cases, have not seen their families as well. They've had a lot of challenges being very isolated, only being allowed to be in a bubble, getting COVID tested every single day to go to the rink. You know, these are not necessarily hard things, but I mean, for any human being, it's been a huge change for all of us. So just checking in on that. And then we really wanted to ensure that they were physically prepared coming into our development camp, just knowing the intensity that's needed for going back into a full NHL or American League or junior season. And so just trying to set the tone in development camp that, you know, this is pro hockey, and yes, it was a pandemic, but you had a lot of time to train as well, so be ready to go. So there's a bit of a balance of both, and, you know, so far so good.
See, this is what I really find fascinating about sports coming out of the pandemic in general. It's like, okay, so When I think about player development or skill development or a lot of the functions in which you guys work, it's hey, this is something we want to improve with you. It's a skill. But now a lot of people have personalized coaches, right? They are working with skills coaches all year round. And I know I think about basketball with this in particular, where you'll have the player working with a skills coach, skills, drills. And then you get these players now where they haven't been able to play games. And I wonder if you're noticing that, I don't mean to overstate this, but if there's maybe a little bit of losing feel for the game, that there's such an intense focus on skill development. And now when you combine that with those years of lost time, actually being able to just play games with others, that a lot of what you're working on right now is just getting the feel back to be in an actual hockey game, getting a feel for beyond just the skills coach stuff.
Yeah, well, I would say my greatest fear for hockey, whether it's the NHL, the women's game, minor hockey, is that we start creating hockey robots where you do have yes. The skill development and players, young kids lose the ability to actually play the game and make plays and have a feel for what's happening. You know, the best players are still the players that have that feel, have that ability to play the game within the game. And so, a lot of skill development for us involves, gamifying drills, making small space games, games within games, things like that. And, skills coaches are important. They are not the end all be all of a kid making it to the next level. So there is a delicate balance of that. And I think there is more and more pressure on players and parents and young kids to everybody needs a skills coach, which is not always the case. Everybody needs to probably get outside on the outdoor rink and play when nobody's watching and some unstructured hockey and develop your hockey sense. That would go a long way as well.
Certainly the impact of the pandemic was felt significantly with women's hockey. As someone that's very passionate about that yourself, I'm curious about what your perspective is, what the state of the game is right now in terms of heading into the Winter Olympics quite soon, right around the corner. You know, you have Canada and US as the powerhouse, but you have, the Swiss team had a great showing at the World Championships. The Finns are still obviously dominating in their own. Was this a massive setback in terms of having to move the World Championship quite a few times? Are you feeling confident that the girls are going to be able to get their goal of having, a league that they can play professionally and sustainably?
Yeah, well, I think the pandemic hurt women's hockey for sure. I mean, there seemed to be some momentum, and then all of a sudden, everybody was shut down. And when you're a small piece of the pie fighting for a bigger piece, everybody in those capacities got hurt. So I don't think it moved the game forward. However, I don't know if I have much hope for professional women's hockey at this point, given the fact that the two entities and the two leagues can't seem to figure out a way to work together and move forward. So it really is a head scratcher for me. I don't know why this is the way it is, but I'm not involved with that at all. So I really can't speak to it as far as the Olympics. I mean, I do think the greatest advantage goes to the country that took advantage of the pandemic to train their players internally to work on skills and fitness and whatever they could do within their own countries. And so I think we'll see maybe a even wider gap with the countries that did the work and those that maybe didn't or didn't have the funding to do so. So that's always the challenge with women's hockey. Canada and the U.S. will be in good shape. They're both centralized and full-time teams right now. So it'll be interesting to see the Czechs. I think might surprise some people if they can put a string of games together at the Olympics, and then the Finns are always knocking on the door. So probably the most disappointing country in women's hockey is Sweden, not even being in the World Championships with a dominant team for so long. So it's interesting times, and hopefully they can kind of get it back on the rails.
Do you think that after the Olympics coming up in Beijing, that maybe that's kind of a moment for these leagues to be like, all right, we've gone through another round of Olympic qualifying and centralization, and now we need to either take a step forward or regroup? Is this kind of like that moment possibly after Beijing that hopefully these organizations can come together and make something happen? Or would that be an incredibly missed opportunity with all this momentum?
Yeah, it would be a missed opportunity, but I've said that coming out of every Olympics for the last like 10 years,
right?
15 years. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's always a missed opportunity when you don't take a chance after an Olympic Games to elevate the sport, and because that's quite frankly the only time that majority of the public gets to watch women's hockey. I mean, you have the World Championships, but it's a blink of an eye and it's over, whereas the world's eyes are fixated on the Olympics. So I hope that there can be some more momentum coming out of Beijing, and that'll be up to the people that run at women's hockey, really, and in those leagues and at the highest levels to push forward, and hopefully they can make it happen.
Well, it sounds like you're not busy enough. Maybe you could just run it. Just another thing to add on your plate,
I'll stay in my lane.